Okay, a few short ideas for the parasha. The first thing is, okay, parashas Ekev, v'chol Ekev Tishmu'un. Okay, I don't have in front of me the Mikros Gedolos, but Rashi, on the first pasuk, tells us, what does it mean, Ekev? Ekev means a heel. Im ha-mitzvah sakalos, the lightweight mitzvah, she'odam dosh be'akovov Tishmu'un, then Hashem will reward you. It's the pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Klal Yisrael Musa that don't take a mitzvah lightly. Don't think we do not know the reward for mitzvahs. A mitzvah, there are mitzvahs which to us may seem trivial, they're not important, and a person would just step on it. It's a figure of speech, it's not that important. And they don't focus, they focus on the big ones, right? The big ones, Le'Sirtzach, Le'Tinach, Le'Tignoiv, the big ones. Little ones, whatever they may be, person has a tendency to ignore. No, Moshe Rabbeinu says you don't understand, you don't know how to evaluate the real value of a mitzvah, and you have to be careful to observe every single mitzvah equally. And if you will do so, then you will be greatly rewarded. Shmartim v'asisim osam, then Hashem will reciprocate. V'shamar Hashem elokecha l'cho esabris v'yasachesed Hashem nishpa l'avosech. Okay, that is the simple interpretation of the pasuk Perush Rashi on the pasuk. Very important. There's a very interesting das, called the Bali Toisvis, the Das Zekeinim. It appears in the back of the Mikros Gedolos. It's not in the front, but it's in the back. There are a lot of very fascinating things appear in that parish. It comes from the time of the Rishonim. They quote from the Drashim, from very early sources, unique things that you don't see anywhere else. And there, at the end of the parish, on this pasuk, he pretty much starts off like Rashi. Person does not know the value of a mitzvah, and you should observe every single mitzvah. Mitzvah is chamus and kalos. We do not know the reward for mitzvah. And then at the end, he has another interpretation. Ekev refers to mitzvos that literally you step on. And there are two mitzvos, he says, that you step on. What are the two mitzvos? Kantzipor. Ki yikore kantzipor lefonecha baderech. A person comes across a kantzipor on the derech. So it means you're walking on the road, and you're stepping on the derech, and you'll step upon a nest lying on the road. We think of a kantzibor in a tree. That's not necessarily so. There's a kantzibor that's just lying out in the open field, and you accidentally step upon it. Oh, look at that! V'ha'im roivetzes al habanim, shaleach tishalach esayim v'yes habanim tikachlach. So the Das Zekeinim from the Bali Toisvis, right? That the mitzvah here that we're referring to, that we're telling you to make sure that you guard, is a mitzvah literally that you okayv, that your heel comes in contact with, specifically the mitzvah of kantzibor. Because kantzibor, you step on the road. That's one mitzvah. And then he says, there's another mitzvah that you step on, tzitzis. Now, we don't. This is something which is shocking to us, but it's not shocking if you study the earlier sources, that today we view a mitzvah, tzitzis, a very dignified mitzvah, a beautiful taliskatan, cost money, a beautiful taliskatal, and you don't let your tzitzis drag on the floor. If it drags on the floor, number one, it's going to get filthy dirty. Number two, it's going to rip. And before you turn around, you're not going to have kosher tzitzis. It's a chefsa de mitzvah, it's choshev. Don't let a mitzvah drag on the floor. But we should be aware that in ancient times, this was not necessarily the way the mitzvah was observed. In fact, it was accepted, and in fact, it was a hiddur, almost, according to some interpretations, that the tzitzis should drag on the ground. They wore very large garments. It's hard for us to understand, but that's part of the mitzvah. The tzitzis, you wear large garments, turban, whatever, the very large robes with turbans, and whatever the ancient form of dress were, and you wore four-corner garments, went down to your ankles, right? Tznius, for men, went down to your ankles, there were four corners, and the tzitzis, they dragged on the floor. And as you walk, people would accidentally here and there step on it. And there's nothing wrong. That's the way the mitzvah is done. You have a large garment, the garment goes down to your ankles, and you have corners. What do you expect? If the fringes have to be a certain size, and your garment goes down to the bottom of your foot, that's the way it is. It's going to go on, drag on the floor, and every so often you're going to step on it. Or the tzitzis actually come in contact with your heels, Now he goes on to say the Das Zakenim says that even in his time it's not acceptable. He says anyone that allows their tzitzis to drag on the floor there's a pasuk that the Hashem will sweep them away with a broom of destruction, pasuk in Yeshaya. So he already says that you don't do this today. Today we look at tzitzis with sanctity, and you shall pull it over your shoulder and make sure it does not drag on the floor. It should not be bizui mitzvah. But it's no question that this concept of letting the tzitzis drag on the floor is an ancient concept which appears to have been accepted and was the norm in ancient times. Even Ad Hayom is another example, and he told me about, and Mr. Axel told me about this, among certain Hasidim, ritzuos of your tefillin. Most of us are trained from Tami Bar Mitzvah, don't let the ritzuos fall on the floor. The ritzuos have kedusha, they have sanctity, they go on your hand, and when you put your tefillin on, it falls on the floor, don't let them put it on the table, don't let it fall on the floor. But that's not the way all, that's, not everyone agrees with that concept. Some hold that adrava, the ritzuos, it represents that the kedusha of the tefillin extends all the way down to the bottom of the earth, to the floor. And in fact, there is a custom, it's done by certain groups of people, when you take out your tefillin, the shaliyah, to put it on, you bedafka, throw the ritzuos on the floor. You hold it, if the tefillin fall on the floor, you have to fast. You hold the tefillin, you take the ritzuos, and you throw the ritzuos on the floor. Because you're showing that the kedusha of the tefillin extends all the way down to the ground, to the earth. Again, we don't do this. If it's not your custom, you shouldn't dare do this, because we treat the rituals with the utmost sanctity. But there is such a concept, and there are actually people that do this. So let's now go take a step back. So the Das Zakenim, the Baalei Tosfos says, the Hayu Ekev Tishmon, we're referring to two very specific mitzvahs. The mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. Because these are two mitzvahs in the Torah. Maybe they're the only mitzvahs, I'm not aware, I don't know. And these are the two, the only thing he cites as an example, mitzvahs which you actually step on. What?
What about Aliyas HaRegel?
Aliyas HaRegel, that's not a mitzvah you step, that's not, the mitzvah is to go to Yerushalayim. That's not, you can argue, okay, I'm not prepared to focus on every single mitzvah, but this is what he says. He cites these two very specific mitzvahs. That's it. Just these two. And he says, if a person basically will observe these two mitzvahs, Shiluach HaKan and Tzitzis, then guess what? Vishomar Hashem Elokech L'choes HaBris V'yesachesed Asher Nishpa La'avosecha V'ahevicha U'v'irachecha V'hirbecha. Ultimate brachos, the best brachos you can possibly want. So the question is, why these two mitzvos bring incredible response, reciprocation by Kadosh Baruch Hu to receive these beautiful brachos? So I think the answer is very simple. There's a very big difference between these two mitzvos. They stand at the extreme end of the spectrum. The mitzvah of tzitzis is a mitzvah, a constant reminder. You wear tzitzis the entire day. Uisem also, uzichartem es kol mitzvos Hashem vaasisem osam veloy sosudu achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem asheratem zunim achreiim. The purpose of wearing tzitzis is that you should have a reminder 24/7. Okay, we don't wear tzitzis at night. Let's focus on during the day. The night anyway, it's dark, but it's a mitzvah that you do to serve as a reminder. Don't forget, there's mitzvos of Hashem. Kol mitzvos, kol atarukula, tzitzis shakol k'neged kol atarukula, this tcheles, it reminds you of the kisya kovod, it reminds you of Yom Hadin. It's a reminder. Shiluach HaKan is the mitzvah, one of the only mitzvahs that you cannot prepare for. It's just by chance. Ki yikorei, prat, prat limizumam. Today many people question this whole business in the newspapers. People make parnasa from this, is that you'll go and be mekayim. You can be mekayim the mitzvah of Shluach HaKan. Someone will take you on the road. You'll find a place to do mekayim the mitzvah. That goes against the grain of the mitzvah. Is it's an accident. It's a chance thing. You happen to be traveling. You happen to come in contact with the nest of a bird. So you have a mitzvah of Shluach HaKan. You can't prepare for it. The Torah is telling you, when it comes to observe Hashem's mitzvos, You have to observe the mitzvos from one extreme to the other. There are mitzvos which you have to look at 24/7. Tzitzis, a mitzvah which is in front of you the entire day, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. There are people, there are tzaddikim, that are very makpid not to take off their talis katan the entire day. Always to be covered in tzitzis. That's the ultimate reminder to do mitzvahs. And then there is the mitzvah of shiluach hakein, which you can't do. You can't do the mitzvah. I can't remind myself. I can't prepare for the mitzvah. I only can do the mitzvah if it comes my way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the mitzvah to me by chance, then I'll do the mitzvah. That's how a person has to live. A person has to be mekayim Hashem's will. Things that come your way by chance, they have no opportunity to prepare for. Hashem just sends things at you. To the opposite extreme of focusing on the entire day. Mikotze el hakotze. That's the opening requirement of the mitzvah. Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, you want to know how to serve Hashem? You have to serve Hashem in every possible way. From one extreme to the other extreme. From doing things, preparing your whole life, from the time you wake up in the morning till you go to sleep, to working on yourself, to serve Hashem, to see all of the mitzvos in front of you. To the other extreme of doing something that there's no way in the world you could have been prepared for this. This just came my way. If you live your life and be ready, be flexible to serve Hashem in these two extremes, then you'll merit every single bracha possible in the world. So many people know they're locked in. They're locked in. Like they have a seder. Get up in the morning, I daven. This is when I do my mitzvahs. I do my mitzvahs, I daven, I learn, I give some tzedakah, I have a chesed project, I go once a week to do this very important chesed project. That's it. That's my seder. That is my service to Hashem. But 9 to 5, I'm working, and there's no flexibility. There's no room if an opportunity comes up, something happens. You know, we need someone to do this chesed. Maybe you can rearrange your schedule to, take off from work or make up the time from work another point in time in order to accommodate this person who has a need. No. I have a seder. I have a calendar, I have a seder, I do chesed on this day and this time, I plan for it. I can't just be expected on the spur of the moment to change my life in order to accommodate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what the Pasuk is telling. Well, there are people the other way around. They'll do things in the spur of the moment when they feel like it, things come their way, but they don't have a plan in life how to serve Hashem. Every so often, someone comes, I like it. Someone, a very big, successful person, someone, I have an opportunity for you to do a chesed. Yeah, you know, I like it. It's a good idea. But the whole day is nothing. You have no plan for your life. You just live a life of efkers. That's also not a mahalach. You have to have a plan to serve Hashem, but you can't be etched in stone. You have to be loose. Have things come you flexible. Things come you where you have to open up. That's what it means. Ekev tishnu'un. If you, Klal Yisrael, will observe the mitzvos of Hashem ranging from one extreme to the other, from Shluch HaKan, Pratla Mezumen, to Tzitzis, which is a constant reminder, serve Hashem, observe all the mitzvos, you'll be zeichet to all the brachas. Okay, that is one idea. Let's now go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha, Birchas HaMazon. Okay, so I want to discuss different in Yerba Birchas HaMazon. We had, in fact, 4 shiurim, I think, on Birchas HaMazon. We had a series on Birchas HaMazon. I came across some new ideas, because this week's parasha, we have the first li of Yechalto V'Savot V'Rachta Shemukach HaLaretz HaToivo Asher No Samach. Now, what is the mitzvah deraisa of Birchas HaMazon? This is the Gemara Mesechta the Brachas, I believe it's Yud Beis. And the Gemara says, according to one opinion, the first 3 brachos are deraisa. Birchas HaZon is the first. Is Hashem sustains every living creature, The second bracha focuses primarily on Eretz Yisrael. And that's really what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "V'chalta v'sevot v'rachta es Hashem Elokecha ala Eretz ha'toyva asher nosan lach." And the third bracha is Racheina for Binyan Yerushalayim. Three brachas: Hazon, that's sustenance, Eretz Yisrael, and then we finish off with Yerushalayim. Then Chazal came along and they made a bracha derabanan, the bracha of Hatov Hametiv. When was that bracha added to the Birchas Hamazon? At the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, pretty recently. Okay, it's only 1,900 years ago, even less. 1,800 and something years ago and change is when that bracha was added to our Birchas Hamazon, Haruge Beitar, in the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni. A whole city was destroyed, and they were, and the Romans did not allow them to be buried, and in fact they piled up their bodies as a massive, massive wall to surround a vineyard. And for 7 years there was no need for the Romans to fertilize the vineyard, because the blood of the victims was served as fertilizer for this vineyard. And after 7 years the Romans gave permission for the bodies to be buried. And it was a miracle, because the body does not last very long out in the open when it's exposed to the sun, when it's exposed to cold. And miraculously, I don't know the numbers, but it must have been millions of bodies that did not decay for 7 years. And they were given burial, Jewish burial, Kever Yisrael. And this was viewed as a very great miracle. And they instituted a special bracha, Hatov HaMetiv, Hatov Sheloi Hisriach. The bodies did not decay. The Hametiv, they were given Jewish burial. Okay. Now the question is, if Chazal wanted to institute a reminder, a zecher for this miracle, why in the world did they put it next to Birchas Hamazon? Maybe they should have added a bracha in the middle of Shemona Esrei, or maybe they could have had some other occasion to make a special bracha. Why did they append this bracha to every Birchas Hamazon? So we discussed this fact this week. We discussed it this week for a reason, because we focused primarily on the idea of Yayin. That Tova HaMetiv is always also instituted in the situation where you had a meal and you're drinking wine, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, they bring to the table better wine. Wine Meshubach. So there's a halacha, you make a bracha, Baruch HaTov HaShem Elokim Melech HaOlam, HaTov HaMetiv. So we explained that because the miracle of Haruge Beitar was involved a vineyard, the bodies were piled around a vineyard, and the Romans used the bodies, the blood of the bodies, as fertilizer for the vineyard. Many people associated the miracle with Yayin, and therefore it became part, and after Birchas HaMazon we make a bracha al Yayin. That's the time, every time you wash, you have three people, you are required al pi halacha to make a bracha al koish al Yayin. So it was really connected to the Yayin, not necessarily to the Birchas HaMazon, but rather to the wine aspect of Birchas HaMazon. And the most common time to drink wine is when you finish Birchas HaMazon, then you are required to drink wine. That's the time they instituted to make the bracha of HaTov HaMetiv. In addition to Borei Pri HaGafen, you have the whole bracha HaTov HaMetiv, because since now when you finish benching your bout, normally in the ancient times you make three brachas: Hazon, Eretz Yisrael, and then Yerushalayim. And now the next thing you do is Baruch HaTov HaShem Elokim Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaGafen. That is the only time when you are required to make a Borei Pri HaGafen. Unfortunately, today we don't do this. Me'ikar HaDin, every time you bench in the Zoom and there are three people, Me'ikar HaDin, you should make a bracha Borei Pri HaGafen. We only do this for whatever reason on Shabbos. Even Shabbos, many people don't do this. They have a mezum and they don't do it. It's not right. You should always do it. They have three people. You always should make a Baruch Pri HaGafen when you finish Birchas HaMazon. That's the only time you are required to make a Baruch Pri HaGafen besides Kiddush. Obviously, Kiddush 49 and Shabbos morning, you don't want to be reminded of tragedy. So we're not going to make a special hatakana to make patoiv hametiv only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But during the week, and the mele once during the week on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, once you say the three brachas when you finish benching, you're supposed to make a tov hametiv. They also embellish the hatoiv hametiv into a special bracha for brachas hamazon because the miracle was very much associated with yai. Now, once you have that concept, yayin, you can begin to develop the concept of yayin and go in that direction, which we're not going to do now. Now I saw another reason. It's from the Baal HaTurim, very similar reason why we say Hatov HaMeitiv. Hatov HaMeitiv is this week's parasha. The Baal HaTurim says right after it says in the pasuk the inyan of Yachalta V'Savata. Right, let me read you the pasuk. It's the last pasuk from the first aliyah. V'yachalto v'savato v'rachta es Hashem lokecha al aretz hatoiva asher nosan loch. The aliyah ends, and then the next aliyah begins. Yishomer lecha pentishkach es Hashem lokecha. You might forget Hashem. Levilti shemar mitzvaysav mishpatav v'chukosav asher anochi mitzavcha hayom pen toichal v'savato. You'll eat, you'll be satisfied with batim, toivim, tivnev, yashavta, so on and so forth, v'ram levavecha, v'shachachta, you'll forget, in other words, v'yishman, yeshurun, v'yivat. Therefore, after you finish benching, think about dying. Because after you eat a good meal, and you've benched, you know, you feel good. It's v'yishman, yeshurun, v'yivat. So now, Chazal wanted you, especially after the Churban, we now need it more than ever in Golus. When you go into Golus and you're successful, don't get carried away. Think about the Yom HaMisa. Thinking about the Yom HaMisa is the fulfillment of what it says right after Birchas HaMazon, Yishomer Lecha Pentishkach Es Hashem Elokecha. The ultimate way not to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to remember that you're going to have to go give one day a Din V'cheshbon. When you think about the Haruge Beitar, it's not so much to think about the miracle. I mean, it's a miracle, so we have a special bracha, but it's a miracle which involves reminding ourselves about death. Death, tragedy, burial, things which a person will humble a person after he has his good meal to continue in the theme of Yishomer Lecha Pentishkach Hashem Lokech. This is what the Baal HaTurim says. And that's why it was appended specifically there. It's a very powerful limud musar. And we all know, why do people have such a hard time benching? People go, they come to shul and they daven long shmon esrays, they're pounding their head into the wall, shuckling. And then when they go, they go to breakfast, they eat bread, and they wash, they eat, and they bench. It's an afterthought. What's the pshat? Why? Birchas HaMazon is a din d'oraisa. It's a bracha d'oraisa. Tefillah is only midrabbanan. It's not a chiv d'oraisa. Even if you hold that tefillah is d'oraisa, the long Shmon Esrei is certainly only midrabbanan. But the answer is, before you daven, you have needs. You have needs. You're hungry. You need refuah. You need life. Parnasa. You need it. When you really need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take it very seriously. When you finished eating, I got what I want already. I don't need you, Hashem. My stomach is full. I'm satisfied. I don't need you. When I'll need you, I'll daven the long Shemona Esrei. When you finish eating, that's why it's so much harder for us to thank Hashem after we eat, because we're done with Hashem. So that's why it's a very great nisayon. In order to humble ourselves in that nisayon, we have to also come on to Haruge Beitar, Pentishkach Es Hashem Elokecha. So that's the Baal HaTurim.
When we were kids, we said, V'yochalta v'savata uvorachta.
Uvorachta?
Well, it means with a
chess
instead of a
chess. We ran away.
You ran away. Ooh, uvorachta. Very good, very good.
That was a kid joke.
I never heard that. Very good. Okay, I saw yesterday another interpretation. Now, this is a very controversial idea. What I'm telling you is not, doesn't say this entirely in the sefer that I'm quoting from. I'm quoting from Shvili Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman. I haven't quoted him in a while. And he says, he has an idea, he develops it in his way, but I want to connect it to a theme of Tisha B'Av, which I've heard of so many times. But his idea is a very interesting idea. There are three brachos min HaTorah. And it's his idea, the three brachos correspond to Doinim, Tzoymeach and Chai. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in different categories. There are four major categories. Doimim, the inanimate objects. Earth, right, the earth, stone, things that have no life, at least not the way we know it. And then there is Tzoymeach, things which sprout from the ground.
Organic
matters, items. And then there is living creatures, animals. So he says the first bracha is Hazon Esa Olam Kulo. Hazon Esa Ko Hashem sustains everything. That bracha, in essence, is an acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the domain. Hashem has created the earth. Hashem has created all inanimate objects in this world. Hazon Esa Olam Kulo. Okay, what exactly that means? It means I'm not 100% sure. That's how we, the entire earth, in the most general sense, is like the Shabbat who created and gave everything what it needs to survive. Then we come to a higher madrega, the second level of benching, Eretz Yisrael. What is unique about Eretz Yisrael? It is a land where we have an obligation to the Mekayim mitzvos on things which grow from the ground. Trumos Semaisres, Shemitah, things that grow from the ground, we sanctify. We sanctify by giving it to the Kohen, by eating in a certain way. What's the third bracha? The third bracha is Yerushalayim. What is the uniqueness about Yerushalayim? It's the Beis HaMikdash. What do we do in the Beis HaMikdash? We sanctify animals. We bring korbanos, chai. You take a living creature and you put it on the Mizbeach and you offer a living creature to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to see how he develops it. I don't know exact details. But the first bracha is where we acknowledge that we sanctify the whole world. LaHashem HaOretz UMeloah. Hazon Es HaOlam Kulo B'Tuvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided, even though you'll say that inanimate objects don't need anything, don't need sustenance, it's not necessarily true. Rocks also need sustenance. What type of sustenance? I don't know. You have to ask a scientist. But in that earth, clumps of earth also need a bracha that there shouldn't be an earthquake, there shouldn't be a volcano, there shouldn't be some natural disaster where the whole world is destroyed. Even the inanimate objects need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha that they should continue to be sustained in ways that we are not 100%.
Laws of nature.
The laws of nature should continue to sustain the inanimate objects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. Then we come to Eretz Yisrael. We're doing something greater. We're taking the Tzoneach and we are sanctifying it by Dvarish HaMikdash, making brachos and giving it to Kohanim and doing things that are greater. Then we come to Yerushalayim and we sanctify in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. We do even the Hayom Madrega. We sanctify animals by offering them as karbanos to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then, now this is the part that is a little controversial, which I want to elaborate on, is after, let me just give you an example, this is so famous, I've heard it so many times, so many different shiurim tapes, is at the time of the Holocaust, there's a very famous story with Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yakum Domai. Elchanan Wasserman, before he was murdered by the Nazis, he was taken out with his community into the forest. And they were going to kill them, they shot them in the forest. Before they actually killed him, he spoke to his community. He was a survivor. Somehow someone escaped and came back and told the world what happened in the forest. And Rav Elchanan, he gathered everyone together and he said to them that it appears, although we are have no understanding why, that in heaven they view us to be very holy, very choshev, because they have selected us. We think that we're simple people. Rav Elchanan said about himself, he was no simple person. But obviously they think that we are very holy people. And in heaven, they have selected us to be, that's what he said, human sacrifices on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That's what he said. I'm just quoting what he said. And I've heard this so many times, so I don't feel, even though this is something where I know, not really my style to talk like this, but this is a quote, and it's quoted often. And he told the people, by us being killed, it's going to serve as an atonement for the rest, for the survivors. Our death will be a zechus for the survivors, that they will have siyata d'shmaya and continue to develop and preserve
Klal Yisrael. Especially, he said, our brothers in America. That's what he said, America. And our death will be a kapara. In heaven they have selected us. And not just them, obviously everyone in the Holocaust, 6 million people. And therefore, he said, being that we are basically korbanos, for as an atonement for Klal Yisrael, we have to purify our thoughts. The law is, when you bring a korban, thought is critical. When the Kohen brings a korban, he has to make sure he knows the laws. If he has a thought that's impure, that's the wrong type of korban, or the korban will be eaten in the wrong time or the wrong place, then the korban is disqualified. So we know that when it comes to sacrifice, thought is critical. So we should now purify our thoughts, recognize we are an atonement for our brothers, especially those in America, and we shall die a dignified death as basically a korban to our Kodesh Baruch. That's what he told them. What do we learn from this? Is that Rachmana Litzlan, at a time of Shema, at a time of Churban, people who die al Kiddush Hashem are korbanos for Achim Bnei Yisrael. They now, who can say they're a korban? Okay, yeah, Rav Chanan told the people Hashem has selected us. That's what's happening now. Can a person always say this? I mean, I guess you always could. Of course, you should. Different levels. But if there was one period of time where it was obvious, it was shown in the Shemayim that the people that died al Kiddush Hashem were korbanos, were holy people, it was the Harugei Beita. In the aftermath of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that itself was a horrible tragedy. 1,100,000 people were killed, according to Josephus, together with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But there was a Beita. There were survivors. Klal Yisrael began to flourish for 52 years. And then there was another Churban. And that Churban, to a certain degree, was even greater than the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And those people, their bodies were piled high as walls for 7 years. They did not decay. And after 7 years, they were given permission, permission was granted that they could be buried in a dignified way. That was a sign in HaShemayim that these people that died were very holy people. Were holy people, and their sacrifice was accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a very great miracle happened. They were given Kever Yisrael in a dignified way after 7 years. So, how many different levels of creation are there? There is Doimim, Soimeach, Chai. And then comes Medaber. Medaber is the fourth level, right? There's the inanimate objects. There is the Tzomeach, things which grow from the ground. There is the living creatures, animals. And after, what's the fourth level? The human life. Medaber. Sophisticated living creatures which speak, human beings. The Brach of Atova HaNative was appended to the first three brachos of Birchas HaMazon, is because it was a time in the world where Klal Yisrael was able to see the sanctification of the Medaber. Just like the first bracha represents the sanctification of the Domim, the second bracha, Eretz Yisrael, is the sanctification of the Tzomeach. The Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, is the sanctification of the Chai. Through the Harugei Beit, the miracle, after 7 years, the bodies are not rot and were given a Jewish burial, the world saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how Klal Yisrael was sanctified. It's not something you want to do. It's not something you volunteer for, but it was a Gzer Min HaShemayim. So many people, the Medaber served, was sanctified for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for atonement for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it fits very much in line the next step of the three brachos of the Birchas HaMazon. Doimim, Sameach Chai, Beitar is Medaber. Okay, it's a little bit Tisha B'Av type of Torah. It's not something you necessarily want to focus on Purim, but it's. I think there's something there. There's some idea that's very powerful in this concept. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to Kriyashma. And this is something which, it's not there, I'm not telling any big chidushim now, I'm just telling pshat, something that's very, but it made a very powerful impression on me, and that's why I want to share it with you, because every day we say Kriyashma twice a day, and there are basically, there are three parshios, two of them which are deraisa. The first two is v'yohavta. And really all three, because they have zechiras, yitzias, mitzrayim. There are three other deraisa, so we group them together. The first is v'yohavta. That was last week's parshas for Eschanan, Shema Yisrael v'yohavta. And this week, in the sixth aliyah, we read v'hoya im shamoa. Right? And if we look at the parashios, they're very similar. They're very pretty much, one is longer than the other. One mentions Laman Yiri Mechem and Mechem. We have the bracha of long life. In the beginning, there's the promise of reward and punishment, that if you serve Hashem, He will provide you with rain. If you do not serve Hashem, you go astray. He will get angry. And then it lists the same things. Vishinantam, you shall teach tefillin and mezuzah. There is a lot of similarity between what appears in V'hoya im Shemo and what appears in the parish of V'yohavta. I'm telling people who know this to say Kriya Shema every single day. So what's the difference? What's the difference? You say it every single day. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create two parashios which are almost the same? So you'll tell me the first parash is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shomayim, and the second parash is Kabbalas HaMitzvos, is the mitzvos. And you'll say the first parasha is for the Yochid, and the second parasha is B'loshin Rabin. And that's why in the first parasha it says V'chol Miodech, but the Tzibor. Okay, there are approaches. They're very good, very, very good approach. They're fine. Something I came across in the Sefer called, I actually brought it here, Bechia. Bechia was written by, it's a two-volume Sefer by Rabbi Elisha Chaim Horowitz. He is the son-in-law of the Novominska Rebbe. The Novominska Rebbe here in Borough Park. This is his son-in-law. He used to be a Rav, I think, in Lawrence. He was a Rav for a number of years. And he put out two volumes, his drushes. Drush, that's a very powerful idea. And he...
The name Horowitz, if he's his son-in-law.
He is...
He married Horowitz? His daughter married Horowitz? I thought the Novominska is Horowitz, huh?
Perlau. Perlau, right, Perlau. So Elisha Chaim, he bases this on the Ramban. I couldn't find the Ramban. I'm sure that he has a source right here. This morning I looked up the Ramban. I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's there. And he says something very, very interesting, which totally changes the whole approach to Kriya Shema. Now let me actually open up the Siddur. Hope we have the trap here. This is very good for Baal Kore. This idea. Let's focus on the words. The mitzvah to teach your children Torah. In parasha, the first parasha of Yohavta, it says Vishinan Tom Levonecha. In the second parasha, it does not use the word Vishinantam, but rather use the word Vilimaditem Osam Espinechem Ledaber Bam. Okay? So that's one question. Question number two. Look at the trap. Vishinantam Levonecha. Vidibarto bam. Both the first parsha and the second parsha, it concludes with the phrase Vidibarto, you shall speak in them, in the words of Torah. Vidibarto bam. But the trap is different. In the first parsha, when it begins Vishinantam Levonecha, after the word Levonecha, it's a munach zokef katon. Right? Mapach pashta munach zokef katon. Two dots. To that, which basically means it's a mafsik. Yeah. Stop. Vishinantam munach zokef koton livonecha. Stop. Teach Torah to your children. Stop. Also, what else should you do? You should do something else. Vidibar tabam. This is pashta esnachta. Okay, but if you look at the trouble later on, you'll right away see it's another statement. Teach your children Torah. Period. Number two, you, Vidibarto, you shall speak in words of Torah. Next, when shall you speak in words of Torah? B'shiv techa b'veisecha, when you're sitting in your house. Uvelech techa v'aderech, when you're traveling on the road. Uveshach b'cha, when you wake up. When you lie down. Uvekumechan, when you wake up. Okay. In the second parasha, the trap is different. V'limadetem osam es b'neichem. After the word b'neichem, it's a... Tipcha, mercha tipcha, which means keep on going, don't stop here. Teach your children lidaber bom. Merchotin chom munach esnachta. This is like the classic sentence. Merchotin chom munach esnachta. Teach your children vili maditem osam esbeneichem lidaber bom. So the Ramban basically says there's a fundamental difference, and he brings this out, like he really brings this out well. There's a fundamental difference between the first parasha and the second parasha. Now let me just tell you the answer, then we'll work backwards. The first parasha is dealing with the mitzvah to have talmidim. It's a Rebbe Talmud relationship. The parasha is speaking to the Rebbe, to every person, you, a Rebbe, not as a father and son. Chazal in fact darshan vishinantam levanecha elu hatalmidim. Why did Chazal take that word levanecha and uproot it from its simple interpretation levanecha? Because it begins with the word vishinantam, and Chazal darshan al tikri vishinantam ela vishinantam she divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. Torah shall be sharp. It shall be, you shall have depth, deep understanding. Furthermore, Chazal darshan vishinantam al tikri vishinantam ela vishilashtam. I'm not exactly sure how we go from a nun to a lamed, but Chazal make a drasha that you shall teach three things: Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Teach three things. Problem is, there is no obligation in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, to teach your children more than Mikra. A person on his own has an obligation to learn Mishnah and Gemara. The obligation that a father has to a son to teach Torah is just basic Mikra, basic elementary school education, not even that, through sixth grade. That's all you got to send your kids to yeshiva to learn the basics. Everything else is a good thing. Don't kid yourself. For a parent to help a child get through high school and college, no one's coming to argue with that, but it's not a biblical requirement. The fact that the pasuk here says vishinantam, an unusual word, which means it shall be very sharp, and also means that you shall divide into three parts. It shall be divided into Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, triggered in Chazal's mind that this word cannot be referring to a father and a son, because a father does not have an obligation to make sure that the child knows Kola Torah Kula on his fingertips, and to teach him Mishnah Gemara. It must mean Levanecha means Elu HaTalmidin. But in the next parasha of the Hayom Shemoa, when it says here Vili Maditem Osam Esbeneichem, there is no Chazal anywhere B'chol HaTorah Kula that says that. When it says Vili Maditem Osam Esbeneichem, Beneichem means Talmidim. Beneichem in the second parasha means literally your children. So Rabbi Horowitz explains, based on the Ramban, the parasha of Chayyim Ve'ohavta is Rebbe Talmud. The parasha of Chayyim Shamoa is father son. And now, with that in mind, we understand the difference. You learn a whole chidushim in Chinuch HaBanim. The father's obligation is V'limaditem Osam Esbeneichem. What shall the father teach his child? Not to actually teach him the words of Torah, to teach him to be a masmid. Teach your child that your child shall be a person that will be lidaber bom. Lidaber bom in the second parasha is very different than the word lidaber bom in the first parasha. In the first parasha, the Torah is addressing you. You, the Rebbe, you, the person, you yourself shall speak in the words of Torah. L'daber bom. In the second parasha, the Torah is addressing the father. Father, you have a child. I want you to teach your child that he shall, that the child his whole life shall be L'daber bom. When b'shivtcha b'veisecha, uvelechtcha v'aderech, uveshachtcha v'gumecha, teach your child to be a masmid. Make sure you give your child the opportunity or the will that his whole life he shall be a person that will always be Dibar Tabam, Beshivtcha Beveisach, Velechcha Velechcha Veshachva Vumecha. So that's why the word Ledaber Bam is a continuation of Espenechem. Teach Limadetem Osam Espenechem. You shall teach Torah to your Benechem Ledaber Bam, that your children shall be ones who Ledaber Bam. And the children shall learn Torah at all times of their life. Now, of course, we know the famous halacha from the Meshech Chachma, from the Shem Shwab, the only way that your children are going to learn is by example. And that's really the first parash. The first parash is, if your children, you want to teach your children by that they shall do this, you have to do it. You yourself, in the first parasha, vidibarta bam, you shall yourself speak in Torah your b'shivtcha. When you sit b'vetzach, and when you travel, and when you go to sleep, and when you wake up, then once you are setting the right example, menela, in the next parasha, will be very easy for you to convey this to your children, that they also shall be people who are it's a fascinating insight. The translation of the words are completely different. In the first parasha, the Torah is addressing you. You shall speak in Torah, and you shall have Talmidim. And when you have Talmidim, you shall teach your Talmidim. The point he's trying to make is the role of a Rebbe is not to teach Talmidim to be Masmidim. To be Masmidim comes from the bias. And his whole theme, the whole gist of his drush is, there are two parts to chinuch. I guess he's speaking to mechanchim, parents. There are two parts to chinuch. There is chinuch from the home, and chinuch from the yeshiva. And you cannot have one without the other. If you have a child that comes from a home where there is no chinuch, when there's nothing, it's hefkerus, and the parents say, listen, we can't handle the chinuch, we'll send him to yeshiva, and yeshiva don't take care of him, it's a disaster. Because if you're not going to have the chinuch in the home, the yeshiva is not going to help. And if you're just going to have chinuch in the home, and you don't have a yeshiva, that's also not going to help. There are two different roles. The role of the parent is to set the framework, the background, the desire to learn, that there should be hasmada. And the yeshiva is where you'll get vishinantam, you'll get depth, you'll get sharpness, greater insight, higher level of education. But the will for education, that there should be a person who is ladaber bam b'shivtcha b'vesech v'lotcha v'dechosh amecha, can only come from the home. It's a very powerful idea. First parasha is the home. The first parasha is the Rebbe, and the second parasha was the person himself. Yourself is the Rebbe, and the second parasha is the home. Now, with this idea, it opens up a whole new world to understanding a lot of different things in the parasha. First of all, the first parasha deals with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. The second parasha, Kabbalas Hamitzvos. Kabbalas Hamitzvos is just do the mitzvah. Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, he explains, is the depth of the mitzvah. You can't go analyze a person, Yimakabal Ol Malchus, that's a quality idea. Mimakabal Ol Malchus Shemayim, how do we Mimakabal Ol Malchus Shemayim? There are different levels. That is something you get from a Rebbe. But to do the mitzvahs, just to know how to do the basic mitzvahs, that is something which is the role of the parents, the role of the chinuch habayis. Now let me give you another diak, which I find to be very interesting, the order of mezuzah and tefillin. Why is it that in the first parasha, the order is vishinantam levonecha vidibartabam, then it says, tefillin, learn Torah when you're sitting at home, when you're going on the street, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, and also wear tefillin, right? Wear tefillin, and also, by the way, make sure you have a mezuzah on your house. Comes the second parasha, first. Ever wonder this? I always wonder this. First, it says tefillin. Make sure you wear tefillin. Then it says, oh, by the way, learn Torah. And after you learn Torah, make sure you put a mezuzah on your house. Why is the order different? I'm sure we'll first talk about this, but why don't we order it the same way? Learn Torah, put on tefillin, and then put on a mezuzah. The answer is because in the second parasha, when we start talking about Torah, we're not talking about your personal Torah. We're talking about set up a bias that the child will want to learn. We're not telling the parent in the second parasha, actually teach the child. We're telling the parent in the second parasha, set up a bias that the child will nemeila want to learn. Vilimaditem osam espenechem ledarbam. Teach your children, do things that your children will want to be people who speak their whole life in learning, when they sit in their house and when they go on the road, when they lie down, when they wake up, and therefore, and that's why your bias, make sure your bias has a mezuzah. Because the pasuk here is not addressing the actual teaching, it's addressing the environment. Tefillin is a personal mitzvah. So the personal mitzvah we already got away with. We already put that in the beginning of the parasha. You'll do everything good, and you'll do all the personal mitzvahs. Now let's talk about chinuch habanim to the parents. Chinuch habanim for the parents. You have to do things that they'll want to be people who will be ledaber bam when they sit in their house and when they. And therefore, make sure that your house has a mezuzah, meaning make sure that the tone of your house is a Jewish home with the Shem Hashem. That's why the group together, the mezuzah, with teaching them. Whereas in the first parasha, we're discussing the individual. You as a person, you shall learn Torah, you shall put on tefillin, and you shall have a mezuzah on your bias. We're not discussing your children or how to raise your children. And when it says levonecha, we're talking about your talmidim. When you go to yeshiva, you'll have talmidim. But we're not talking about the personal obligation to raise children, to set an environment. Therefore, the order is, you do this, you put on tefillin, and you have a mezuzah. But in the second parasha, when we're dealing with creating an environment that is pleasant for children developing, then we get rid of the tefillin first, because that's a private mitzvah. And then we go in that, and we focus on, okay, this is a very interesting idea, I think, difference between, there are two different parts. He also ties this to what from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says in Parashas Balak, Matovu Ahalecha Yaakov Mishkan Asecha Yisrael. Chazal have two drashas. What does it mean, oy halacha, your tents? One drasha is your private tents. That Bilam saw that the tents of each, the openings of each bais were not opposite each other. Privacy. So according to the first interpretation, the ohel is a private bais, private. The second interpretation of ohel is the bate kinosios, the bate midrashos. Matov olacha, how beautiful are the bate kinosios and the bate midrashos of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Moshe says, there are two, it's not a coincidence that Chazal have two drashos on the word ohel, because there are two parts to chinuch. There is chinuch from the bayis, the private bayis, the ohel, that's the private bayis, and there is chinuch that comes from the yeshiva, from the environment, from talmidim together. Both of those two must go together in order for there to be success. There's the private bayis, and there is the bate midrashos. That's why Matov Olam Yaakov, Chazal have two different drashos, private, public. Because the two are peers, the two come together to move for, and again, that's the point. The first parasha is the parent, and the first parasha is the Rebbe. The Rebbe shall be a person that is perfect, and then the male will be able to give over to the Talmidim in a way that's vishinantam. And the second parasha is the chinuch of the parent, Rebbe Talmud, Av Ubino. And when you focus with that theme in mind, everything, the mail of flows, all the questions, the differences between the two parashios, all make sense why they're ordered in such a way. Okay, let me give you one more havart for this parasha. Okay, let's go. This week's parasha is the parasha of Yirah Shemayim. Mo v'yato Yisrael, Mo Hashem lokecha shol me'imach, ki im liyira oiso, Yirah Shemayim. So we all know on Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Birchas Rosh Chodesh, we say, we ask for Yirah Shemayim twice. Everyone knows this, but you don't know what I'm going to say. Everyone knows. You know the Vart. So let me find what it says over here in the Siddur. Okay, Siddur Shabbos, Mosef Tikkun the Shabbos. We are mevakeish Yirah Hashem. He rotsim lufanach Hashem lokeinu v'chavaseinu. Shetachadish aleinu esach chodesh hazeh l'toiva v'livracha. V'sitin lanu chayim aruchim, chayim shol shom, chayim shol tev, chayim shol belach, chayim shol panasa, chayim shol chilut tzatzamos, chayim sheyesh bohem Yirah Shamayim v'Yirah Shchet. We're grouping together the Yirah Shamayim with Yirah Shchet. Okay, very good. Finished. Then we go further. Chaim Hashem Rebu Shuchlim Chaim Shal Oishav Chavod. Ah, Gevaldik Oishav Chavod. Chaim Shetehevanu.
Yeah.
Ahavas Torah. For Yirah Shemayim. Wait a minute. Didn't we already say Yirah Shemayim? Nochamol. How much Yirah Shemayim already do you want? So that's the famous answer. After the Oishav Chavod, you need another dosage. Go back to the doctor for another dosage of Yiras Shemayim. Another very popular answer is that there's Yiras Achit and Yiras Haroimimus. Or just Yiras Shemayim for the sake of Yiras Shemayim, right? Just for the sake of Yiras Shemayim. So this Yira, don't do Naveira. You're going to be zapped. A bolt of lightning will come out of the sky and zap you. That's Yiras Chet. And then there's, even if a bolt of lightning is not going to come out of the sky and zap me, I just have awe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's another very popular approach to explain why we have two different Yiras Shemayims. Okay. So now the question is another question. Over here we're praying. We're actually asking Hashem for Yiras Shemayim. But don't we have a principle? HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Yiras Shemayim. There's nothing to pray for. Do it. Just work on yourself. It does not depend on mazel. It does not depend on prayer. You have to work on it. That's not a strong question, because many of the Mepharshim say that tefillah does help. Tefillah helps that you should be influenced the right way. You need assistance in coming to Yiras Shemayim. All right, but it's a good question nevertheless. There are very good answers, but nevertheless it's a good question that Yiras Shemayim is not something that you pray for. It's something that you have to work on. You can pray for good health, you can pray for success in business, siyata shmaya, but when it comes to make a decision, should you do an avera or not do an avera, all the prayer in the world is not going to help you. You have to make the right decision. So what is this that we're asking here for Yiras Shemayim? Okay. So to answer these questions, I want to turn the table the other way around. I have here a sefer called Toras Chaim. The mechaber of the sefer is Meir Blumenfeld. Anyone know who is Rav Meir Blumenfeld? My father knew him. My father and he told me he knew him. And he says over here a very interesting idea. He develops it much more than I'm going to mention. But he says that if you look in the Torah very carefully, there are three types of Yiras Shemayim. In this week's parasha, the pasuk says, "V'atoy Yisrael." What does Hashem want from you? Now the pasuk, we're very fortunate, explains to us what is the Yiras Shemayim. Lo leches bechol derachav, to go in his ways, ule ahava osa, and to love him, to avoid es Hashem elokecha, to serve him bechol levavecha bechol nafshecha. Now there are two more psukim in the Torah that instruct us to have Yiras Shemayim. First pasuk is in Shemos, where Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and says that Bnei Yisrael, they're afraid of you, of the Aseres HaDibros, because after the first two Dibros, they died. Their souls expired and they had to be revived. They were terrified hearing Hashem speak to them directly. So Hashem says, that's excellent. That's not a bad thing. That's very good. And Hashem says, halavai, that they should continue to have this fear. Ba'avur tiye yirosei al penechem levilti sechetohu. Hashem says, I'm very pleased that they're afraid. And halavai it should be, if only it will be that this fear will continue, shall be al penechem, so that you shall not sin. Yiras Chet. Okay, now there's another pasuk. This pasuk was back in Parshas, I think Parshas Devarim. The pasuk says, "Mi yitain v'hoya levavam zeh lochem liyira osi v'lishmar es kol mitzvosai kol hayomim." Halavai, the Jewish people shall have fear of me, and they'll guard my mitzvos kol hayomim. To fear me and guard my mitzvos for lishmor es kol mitzvos sai kol hayamim. So it turns out that we have here really three types of fear. We have a fear of our weeks of our parasha, which focuses on ahavas Hashem. The year Hashem lokech lelechas bid b'chol derachav. I shouldn't really say that. It's really, I take that back, not la'ava, but it's v'lishmar es kol mitzvosav. Okay, v'lishmar to guard es kol mitzvosav. That's the focus. to guard es kol mitzvosoi kol hayamim. The fear in Shemos is levilti sechetohu, and the fear in our parsha is kim liyeres Hashem Elokecha loleches bechol derachov. Now, what does it mean bechol derachov? Chazal darshin midos mahu rachum af atotei rachum, to imitate the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If he's rachum, you be rachum. He does chesed, you do chesed. Hashem buries the dead, you bury the dead. Hashem visits the sick, you visit the sick. To go in his ways. To go in his ways is not the same as observing the mitzvahs. For lishmar is kol mitzvosai. So the drush I want to suggest to you is, turn the tables. We have over here in the bracha of Birchas HaChodesh a request, a double request for Yiras Shamayim. The question should not be, why do we ask Yiras Shamayim twice? The question should be, why don't we ask for Yiras Shamayim three times? Because in the Torah we find three different types of Yiras Shamayim. A Yiras Shamayim loleches b'chol derachav, to imitate Hashem's midos. A Yiras Shamayim levilti sechetohu, not to sin. And a Yiras Shamayim to do Hashem's mitzvos. To do mitzvos. So we should have a triple request for Yiras Shamayim in the bracha of Yehi Ratzon. Again, a Yiras Shamayim to fear Hashem, pasuk levilti sechetohu. There are three different sukkim in the Torah that discuss, give us commands to fear Hashem. One is the halachta b'derachav, to go in Hashem's midos. Midos is not something we have any mitzvahs. There are no tayag mitzvahs that tell us how to midos. Character. Chesed. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that says do chesed. That's all nichlal in the halachta b'derachav. And then there's the Yiras Shamayim, don't sin, just don't violate the negative mitzvahs. And then there's the Yiras Shamayim that should inspire you to do. Hashem told you to do something, do it. Do it. V'lishmar, to God, kol mitzvosav. Mitzvah means a commandment. Commandment simply means, we'll focus now the positive commandments, to do the commandments. So we should have in the Yiratzon a triple request for Yiras Shamayim.
We actually do.
Where?
It says Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chet, and then later Yiras Shamayim again.
What are you talking about? Nusch Ashkenaz. I'm the Nusch Ashkenaz. What do you have? A Sfarzida?
No. Ashkenaz. I'm saying it says Chaim Sheishmahem Yerushamayim Yerushchei. Yerushchei could also be somehow interpreted as
Okay. I hear what you're saying. But I want to focus on Yerushamayim. Okay, you're right. I hear what you're saying. But that's really what the answer. I want to explain is that in this it says here also it's a definition. We're only asking for two. And what was our other question? How could you pray for Yiras Shamayim? Mo Hashem ein lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu lomo ela Yiras Shamayim olvad. Only the Kadosh Baruch Hu has akol bidei Shamayim chutz mi Yiras Shamayim. So I want these ideas. They all answer. They complement one another. We ask. There are two types of Yiras Shamayim that you can pray for, but there's one Yiras Shamayim that you can't pray for. The Yiras Shamayim you can pray for is the Yiras Shamayim of this week's parsha. The Ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyl Me'imach, Kim Liyire Oso, to fear Hashem, Loleches Bechol Derocha. The Yiras Shamayim, Akol Bidei Shamayim Chutz, Miyiras Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of you, is the Yiras Shamayim of this week's parsha. He Shoyl Me'imach, V'Holachta Bidrocha, Midos. To be a person of good character. The Yiras Shamayim that comes, the midos that come are rooted in Yiras Shamayim, that you can pray for. And that is absent in the bracha and the hirotzon of Birchas Rosh Chodesh. What do we ask for in the bracha of Rosh Chodesh? We ask for Yiras Shamayim, and then it explains what kind of Yiras Shamayim. Chaim Sheyesham Yiras Shamayim, the Yiras Chet. The Yiras Shamayim that we ask for in the beginning is the Yiras Shamayim Levilti Sechetohu in Shemos. Then we come to the end of the request, Chaim Shetevanu Ahavas Torah, a love for Torah, the Yiras Shamayim. That's the Lishmar Kol Mitzvosoi. Ahavas Torah is, what is the Torah? What does Torah mean? Torah means instruction. Torah is a synonym for mitzvos. So we're explaining that's the Yiras Shamayim in Devarim. V'lishma mitzvosai. Those two forms of Yerushmayim we are mispalel for. But the third form of Yerushmayim, the Yerushmayim of V'holachta lolachas b'chol derachav, that you can't ask for. Midos, you can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to give me Yerushmayim. That will lead to being a good person, being a Baal Chesed, being a, following in Hashem's good midos. That is what the pasuk itself explicitly says. Hashem wants you to work on this. Don't come to me and ask me to help you out with this. This is something you have to work on. You want Yerushmayim not to sin? Okay, that you can pray for. You want Yerushmayim to be inspired to do the mitzvos the way you should? That you can pray for, that you'll get. But the Yerushmayim of Leleches Bechol Derochov, this third form of Yerushmayim, that is not something which you can request, that you can pray for. And that's why that is absent from the bracha, the request of the Yiratzon. So what we're doing is we're turning the tables. You have a Yiratzon for Rosh Chodesh, you ask the Yerushmayim twice. Everyone asks, why did I say it twice? It's enough to ask it once, and even once is something you can't even ask for. The Teretz is, you shouldn't ask the question, why does it say twice? You should ask the question, you should say a request for triple Yerushmayim, because there are three psukim in the Torah that mention Yerushmayim, three different types of Yerushmayim. A Yerushmayim of Vilta Secheto, a Yerushmayim Lishma Mitzvosai, and a Yerushmayim to go in Hashem's ways as Midos. The answer is two of the three you can ask for, because it doesn't say you can't ask for them. The only one where the Torah says that you can't ask for it is Hashem Shol Neimach, is V'holach L'Midrachav. And indeed, that we don't ask for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this request. Okay, so this is idea. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.